Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Should believers living under national judgment circle the wagons and live off the grid, or engage their flawed culture with enthusiasm? The surprising answer comes from God's instructions to captive Judah living in Babylon. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Erwin Lutzer takes us to Jeremiah chapter 29 for a look at life in a pagan city.
Today, I hope that you're going to be as excited about this message as I am as it progresses, because at last we are going to be taught what to do as a minority in a majority culture. By that I mean that we as Christians are a minority within the United States of America. It used to be that Christianity was the dominant religion. Christian values permeated our country, even though not all, of course, were Christian, but there was a general acceptance of Christian values. Today, all that you have to do is to express your convictions regarding biblical marriage and sexuality, and then you find out what happens in our culture. Or if you suggest that Jesus is the only way to the Father, you get the same kind of reaction. And at last, in this series of messages, we're going to talk about living as a minority, as a Christian minority in a country that is largely non-Christian in its values and outlook. You know, the Bible tells us that Israel was in the land, of course, and then what happened is it went to Babylon, specifically Judah. And at last, we're going to talk about the church in Babylon. I do not mean to say that Israel is the church. We make that distinction, and it is important to us. But as I look at the Bible in the Old Testament and ask myself, what's the best example of how to live in a pagan culture? I think of the people of Judah living in Babylon. Now, in order to remember the context of these messages, six messages were given about all of the judgments that Jeremiah was putting upon the people. He said, God is going to judge you, a nation is going to come from the north. You are going to experience a great deal of devastation, and the people absolutely refused to repent, and Babylon came. In fact, in the year 605, Babylon swept down, and many of the Jews were carried off to the country of Babylon. They came to Jerusalem, that is, Babylon did, and took people back to Babylon. Among them was Daniel and some of his friends. And then a few years later in 605, or rather in 597, the Babylonians came again to Jerusalem and took about 10,000 people or more all the way to Babylon. And after that, 587, they come and they totally destroy the temple and everything that is Israel. Now, that's where we left this series of messages. The last message was on the lamentations of Jeremiah as he walks through the rubble of a destroyed city. And he is the weeping prophet, and he has reason to weep. But now the Israelites are in Babylon. They have walked about 600 miles. Babylon is where Iraq is today, and the city of Babylon itself is about 60 miles from Baghdad. But imagine, people died on the way. Back in Jerusalem, they left all of their families. Many of those were put to death or they died of starvation. These are the survivors, and they make it into the land. I think it's time for us to simply take a deep breath and remember what they were facing. These people were coming into a culture that was totally foreign to them. an entirely different culture. When they were back in the land, when they were there in Jerusalem, the temple was the center of their worship. They brought sacrifices to the temple. Now there is no temple. There will be no sacrifices. And furthermore, they worshiped Yahweh. They worshiped Jehovah. Oh, I know that there was idolatry, but Jehovah was the God that was generally accepted. Now they're going to be in Babylon. And the Babylonians worship all kinds of God, including Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. The gods of Babylon know nothing about the Ten Commandments. The gods of Babylon are filled with license for immorality, and the people are going to be in that environment. And no wonder the people so beleaguered. This is Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our harps, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors, that's the Babylonians, they said to us, "Well, sing one of your songs of Zion." Sarcastically, they asked for that. How shall we sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. So there they were in Babylon without a song. Now, Jeremiah doesn't go to Babylon. He actually is there. He survives all of these invasions. He ends up going to Egypt. And so far as we know, that's where he died. But before he died, God gave him a revelation, a letter that was to be sent to these exiles in order to teach them how to live in the midst of this pagan culture. I hope that you have your Bibles, because the text today is from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 contains the instructions given by God for how these people are to live in Babylon. And it is surprising what God has to say. And I believe that it has relevance for us today. God says, these are the instructions. I'm going to give you five instructions. Instruction number one, you'll notice it says, verse 4, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease." Surprise, wow. God says instruction number one is build houses. Don't try to live in your tent, because you are going to be there for 70 long years. The false prophets were saying, oh, we're not going to be here long. God is going to get us out of here real fast, because God wouldn't put up with us here in Babylon with all of these pagans. Jeremiah is saying, don't accept cheap promises. And by the way, the false prophets today, oftentimes seen on television, they are giving out a lot of cheap promises that we had better avoid. God says it is going to be difficult, and what I want you to do is to plant crops, build houses, because you are going to be there, and I will take care of you in the midst of a pagan culture. Number one, God says, plant crops, live among the Babylonians, build houses. Number two, he says, have strong families. Were you surprised when I read the text a moment ago when it says, take wives and have sons and daughters, and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease? God says what you ought to do when you are there in Babylon is to have some singles parties, so that young women can meet young men, and so that you can get them married off, so that you can have huge families. That comes as a surprise, doesn't it? Because you may say to yourself, how can you raise children in a pagan environment? Now, they didn't attend school in Babylon, but I'm sure that what their children heard out on the street made up for it. And so God says, I want you to have lots of children. You see, the reason that the Lord knew that these families would be able to survive paganism is because in Judaism, there were always strong fathers who had the responsibility of the home. And of course, it was the father, you know, who was the head of the Passover. That is to say, he's the one who was in charge of the Passover. And God knew that with strong fathers taught in the word of God that had been revealed to that time, these families could survive paganism. And two things would happen. Number one, God would have seed and the message of Jesus Christ, eventually, of course, through the prophets and so forth. The message of Judaism, the truth of Judaism, would be preserved in the lives of children. Furthermore, God needed children so that a future generation, 70 years later, would be able to return to the land. So God says, have families in the midst of this culture. Just this past week, I was again with my friend Tony Evans. I happened to be in Dallas for a day for a meeting with pastors, and Tony was there. But I recall him saying one time that when his children were in school, when they came home in the evening, they would spend some time to deprogram them, ask them what happened in school, what were you taught, what values were communicated. And they were very vigilant in allowing their children the opportunity to go to a school like that, but they knew that they had to step in as parents with incredible vigilance. I can imagine that the very same thing happened here in Babylon. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and all of us know that one of the reasons for the high crime rate, this is certainly true here in the city of Chicago, is because of lack of fathers in the home. Maybe today, as you think about this message, you're reminded of the fact that there is some father whom you know. As a matter of fact, it might be your father who needs special prayer, that God would enable him to be the kind of man that he should be for his wife and for his children. And by the way, perhaps you know some family that needs you. There may not be a father in the home. Perhaps it is indeed a one-parent family. And you can step in as a believer and bless them. I hope that you will do that, because it is certainly true that we are raising families in a pagan society today.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Life in a Pagan City, the seventh message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time on Running to Win, how we should live in a pagan culture. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.